Welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And today we are doing episode 71.
Jeez.
Our Labor Day special. We decided that we were going to do Look Who's Talking To, because we get labor confused. And we realized that they meant labor unions and not people going into labor.
Right. We were totally off base with this one.
So we thought we'd tackle on Look Who's Talking To, directed by Amy Heckerling from Clueless.
Yes.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. This movie was also co-written with Neil Israel, who wrote the Police Academy movies.
Yes.
Well, the first one, at least.
Yeah.
So there you go. Oh, Real Genius. He also wrote Real Genius. So.
Did he?
Yeah.
Nice.
So there you go on that. This movie stars the two original parents from the first movie, John Travolta.
Yep.
And Kirstie Alley at, like, I think this was, like, is this after Cheers?
I think it might have been right after Cheers. It was kind of at the height of Kirstie Alley.
Right. Kind of the height and the end of his kind of, before his big comeback.
Yes. And before, yeah. I mean, it was before she did Fat Actress, too.
Right. Right. And this is before he did Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
All these movies came out before Pulp Fiction.
Was it before Pulp Fiction?
Yeah.
Must have been right, fairly right.
All
before.
Three of these movies came out before Pulp Fiction, because that's what made it the comeback kid, John Travolta. So this movie came out a year later. So maybe they were trying to bring in some money from the blockbuster that was Look. And I remember seeing Look Who's Talking, the first one, in the movie theater.
Yeah, I did too.
You saw it?
I think I saw all three of them in the theaters.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So that's crazy. Bruce Willis reprises his role as the voice of Mikey.
Mm.
We bring in the wonderful Roseanne Barr.
Yes.
When we mean wonderful, we mean terrible.
Yes.
Racist, xenophobic Roseanne Barr.
Right. No talent hack. Roseanne Barr. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say these things. I took some Ambien before we started this, so.
And also Damon Wayans.
Yeah.
As one of the kids.
Yeah.
He shows up, which originally, I think we read, was supposed to be Richard Pryor, but then that's when Richard Pryor was really sick.
Yes, and so he had to back out.
So he couldn't do that. Cameo, Mel Brooks plays the voice of Mr. Toilet.
Yes.
And what I believe is my favorite part of the movie, by the way.
When the toilet's coming at him?
Yes, but that's just me.
I will say, and we'll get into it a little bit more.
Oh, we will. We'll get into it.
But, you know, as much as I'm like, ugh, Roseanne Barr, like I thought she was all right in this.
I thought she was awful in this. I don't think that she was... her voice wasn't as annoying as it has been in the past.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought she was awful, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
We'll disagree to agree, or agree to disagree.
Or whatever.
I don't know.
You're on Ambien, so it doesn't...
This movie had me jumbled up.
It really does. It's really nonsensical.
It's anyway. Crazy.
Anyway, but maybe we should talk about... phonies first.
Okay, all those phonies out there.
We don't want those, do we?
No, we want no phonies.
Right. And why is that?
Because phonies are terrible, and I'm Holden Caulfield.
What about our network?
Oh, yeah, because we're on the No Phony Podcast Network.
There you go.
Yeah.
And what's the featured podcast this month?
Who is? Oh, is it Miles and Crawford?
No.
No, who is it?
Between the Profound and Profane.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's a great podcast if you haven't heard, haven't listened to it yet. You can actually find them if you go to nophonynetwork.com. We have all of the podcasts that are in our network, and some of those who are kind of new to the group, we have all sorts of things for you to listen to, so please go out there, check us out. But... I think after these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back. That's right. It's your shit host, Chris, from Between the Profound and the Profane, a comedy podcast from thebonushours.com. Between the Profound and the Profane, where lifelong friends gather together to trade friendly stories, give friendly advice, and try to learn something new about their friends. And while we're at it, maybe make some new friends. So if you would like to be a new friend, why don't you jog on over to thebonushours.com and get you a heavy dose of what we call Between the Profound and the Profane, part of the No Phony Podcast Network, found at nophonynetwork.com.
And we're back.
No, we're not.
Oh.
That's right. It's another No Phony Podcast, found on the No Phony Podcast Network at nophonynetwork.com.
Now we're back.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So go ahead and listen to them.
Yes.
Go on, rate them. Rate them on that iTunes. Rate us on iTunes. Rate them on iTunes.
Yes.
Rate everyone.
Yeah.
Give them 5 stars. Tell them I sent you. Not Jeremy, but tell them I sent you.
Yeah, tell them Bradley sent you.
Yes. Yes. That'll get you nowhere. All right.
All right. So should we
drop the deuce on this one?
Yeah.
I mean, as best as we can.
Yeah.
This plot is a little disjointed.
Yeah.
This humor it kind of misses a lot. There are bright parts of this movie. Not that
so
many.
So I have a story about this movie.
Of course you do.
Well, I worked at a cable company in Omaha, Nebraska, and they were showing this one day. I think it was like on a Sunday or something like that. It must have been Saturday, whatever day I worked. But like in the afternoon, after
it seems
cartoons.
Like a Saturday in the afternoon movie.
Yeah, and the movie opens with basically it's not like super explicit, but you see Kirstie Alley's character Molly basically ovulating, like the egg is moving into the soft tissue, and then. Eventually see sperm coming down there. People called and freaked.
Right. That's nature.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way things work.
Yeah. It wasn't like you saw.
You didn't see, like, you know.
Yeah, you didn't see,
them,
like.
Them
see, like,
sex.
You didn't see, like, the dick slamming in and out or whatever. Like, it was.
People.
Yeah, it was.
That's stupid.
Yeah, but people called and freaked, and I was like, I don't know how to deal with this.
Look,
we were just like, we'll pass your complaint
it's not
on
something
you
that you normally see on like credits,
prude.
Right?
Yeah,
this is not something you normally see on credits.
No,
so I can get why maybe people would be like, oh, hey, because it is kind of a little.
I thought they handled it really visually.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's I think they did this in the first one too. And visually, I think the scenes are fine. Like, they...
Yeah.
They make sense, and they
also,
I'm like, wow, to, like, you see it in...
Want to teach someone about the birds and the bees? Let them watch the credits to this movie.
There you go.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I actually... And that's a good reminder. I was going to try to remember to, like, figure out how they did the effects for that.
Oh, yeah. How did they?
I don't know. I'd have to go look it up. It's very clear.
It's very visual.
Yeah.
Especially when the sperm.
Yeah, I mean, they have to be like Henson puppets.
Basically. What do you call it? John Travolta's sperm? I know that sounds like a joke. I'm just asking.
I don't know. I was like waiting for a punchline.
No. Greased lightning? I don't know.
Saturday Night Swimmers.
Phenomenon? Basic?
Broken condom arrow?
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, okay. Yeah, sure.
He was in Broken Arrow, right?
Was he? Like, if that face off.
Was face off? He was in Face Off, too. Where the faces literally come off.
Okay, let's drop the deuce on this.
Okay. So, as we said, well, the movie picks up. You see that Molly and James in bed. So, again, Kirstie Alley and John Travolta.
John Travolta.
Yes. Yeah. What'd I say?
Yeah, nothing.
Okay. And they're getting ready to be amorous. when Mikey is in his room, like, watching his toys, and he's like, okay, there's nothing to be scared of. What is it? Monsters don't exist, but dinosaurs do, or was that the other way around? He's really just freaking out, and he's kind of hiding under the covers. But you see, like, the little barn door opens on, like, one of his toys, and these red eyes light up.
Kind of creepy.
It is pretty creepy.
It's creepier than John Travolta's acting.
And this little demon thing comes out.
That's weird.
And it's like, like his little devil-looking thing. And then it makes his bear come to life. And it gets,
and
like...
not in a good way come to life. I mean, it's like fangs and everything.
Yeah, it gets fangs and, like, Wolverine claws, and it, like, growls at him. Honestly, I don't know which room I'd rather be in, because in the other one...
It's,
you know,
they're both scary.
I know. It's terrifying.
They're
either
both
way.
Revolting.
In both rooms, there's a male crying. Yeah.
Yes. Mikey and then Kirstie Alley in the other one.
So Mikey's like, holy shit. So he starts screaming for his parents. So James goes to get Mikey, kind of talks to him a little bit, comes back, and she's asleep. But he manages to, like, this borderline Me Too moment.
I know.
I was kind of like, eesh.
Did he do something like that?
No, I think he's joking.
Okay.
But he talks her into waking up, and then they have sex. And that's when we see, like, the scenes of, like, the egg.
Right.
And we see the sperm, like, trying to go. And it gets to her diaphragm, but one manages to sneak through. And then I think it's...
That's the real sweat hog. That one is.
Anyway. So.
I can't even after that. I'm like, good night, folks.
Okay, good night. We'll see you around. The boy with the cum.
I really
bubble?
Think I, maybe it could be the. Oh, that's great too. It's just 30 minutes of us doing
just making
sperm jokes.
Travolta sperm jokes.
Really, that's what the audience wants us.
It is. Let's be honest. So the next day, the Molly. And James tell Mikey that he's got to be potty trained. Like, there's a lot
she
of, like...
In, but she comes in. I thought she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Magically, she's pregnant.
Yeah.
I don't know how long.
They, like, this is weird. Like, time really skips forward a lot in this movie.
Yeah. When are we?
I don't know. Either. And they don't really go into a lot of, like, what happens in between. We're just getting these little glimpses of life.
Yeah.
So
she's pregnant. She looks like maybe she's, what, in her...
What, she's probably in her first, like, I don't think she's that far along.
Okay.
She's got baby bump for sure.
Yeah.
But Molly and James tell Mikey that he's got to get potty trained. And she figures out she's pregnant at some point here. And James is trying to work to help contribute. So he's not flying anymore. So he's doing, like, training classes for teaching people
okay.
how to
That's
fly.
What, I didn't know really what he did.
Yeah, he's trying to he teaches people to fly a couple days a week, and then he also drives, like, a cab.
Right. So is this where, like, her mom is there?
Yes. And
by the wonderful Olympia Dukakis.
Yes. And her... So Kirstie Alley... Molly is an accountant, and her parents are accountants, and her brother's an accountant.
Yeah.
Although her brother is kind of like a...
black sheep accountant.
Yeah. Like he's,
I don't know what you call that.
He's like a punk accountant.
Yeah. I don't know if, like... So later on, he'll work for the Trump Foundation? Is that what we're talking about?
Okay. Apparently. But she's talking to Mikey about, like, hey, look, you're going to be a big brother soon. And of course, now he's dreaming about, like, oh, I'm going to be this big brother. I'm going to take care of her. I'm going to, you know... Like, he's in for it. So
yeah, they do this whole montage of him going around New York, pushing her in the stroller.
Yes, taking her to like get toys.
Getting a toy at F.E.O. Schwartz.
Yeah.
Complaining about the prices at F.E.O. Schwartz.
Right.
Getting a pretzel from like a street vendor.
But no salt because he wants to make sure she's okay. Salt's well, not good.
There you
for
go.
Her.
Yeah. So all this is, you know, of course, in his dream because no parent would let their kids.
Right. And then they almost get mugged.
Yeah, they get mugged by like a kid
by a baby dressed as like a biker? As a street hoodlum.
Like a street hoodlum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he grabs her toy. And so Mikey's fighting him and eventually just pushes him down. And says he's going to take care
now,
of
him. How did you feel about this? Cuz I was like whatever. I felt like they were trying too hard.
Yeah. It's like
ham-fisting it.
Yeah. Well, and like in the last movie, I remember the story with the parents was kind of fleshed out, but then it had like the stuff with the kid was incidental to it.
In this episode, the pee is fleshed out because it's a bunch of pee and poop jokes.
Yeah.
Pee, pee, pee.
Yeah, I can't figure out if they want to make it about the kids or if it's about the adults.
Yeah, like, it's really odd. Also, in the first movie, if I remember correctly, Mikey had straight blonde hair.
Yeah.
And this movie has curly brunette hair.
Yeah, it's a different
and
kid.
And in the third movie, well, I know, but in the third movie, he goes back to blonde hair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a different kid. So, although I thought they kind of looked like, but if it was a year, that means he probably sprouted up too fast because the other one
probably
takes place right after.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, while all this other stuff is going on, he's thinking about, well, to use the potty. Now, I don't get it. They give him a potty chair.
Yeah, they go through the whole
but that's the last time you see the potty,
of teaching him how to potty by singing songs that have party in the title.
Yeah,
they
change to potty, right.
We like to potty.
Yeah, and Travolta continuously insinuating he has a big dick.
Yes.
Because, you know. Yeah. You can't teach your kid how to pee without trying to be too macho.
Hey. Yeah.
Who are you fooling, Travolta?
Kelly Preston. Anyway.
But at one point, he goes to see, he looks at the toilet, or he has a dream about going to the toilet. And the toilet, which has this, like, blue, like, all those kind of, like, rug cozy things you put on the back of it and on the lid and everything.
Yeah.
The toilet comes to life.
Yes.
It's like Mr.
Favorite.
Potty or Mr.
It's
Mel Brooks.
Brooks.
Yeah. And he's like, give me that potty. Give me that potty.
His friend tells him that the Mr. Toilet guy.
Yeah.
The Damon Wayans friend tells him that his mom told him that the toilet eats its pee and its poop.
Yeah. It eats your pee pee and poo poo.
Poop poop or whatever. Sorry to be so graphic. Pee and pee poop poop.
pee and pee poop poop.
Pee and poop poop poop.
Pee and pee poop poop.
So he imagines that pee and pee poop poop music factory. Gonna make you sweat till you poop. Anyway, okay.
It's potty training songs for kids. Pee and pee music
factory. Well,
that's
what they were doing. They were putting in potty training songs. So his friend tells him that. So he looks at the toilet and it turns into a puppet kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where he's got, like, teeth and he's spraying that blue...
Spraying the blue water.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's got angry eyes.
Yes. That toilet bowl 3000.
I want to eat your pee-pee.
That blue toilet bowl 3000 thing that you put in the toilet.
Oh, yeah.
Sprays out. It's great.
Yeah.
I don't know why I loved it.
No, it's good. The kid was like,
funny.
Holy shit. I mean, like, it makes me wonder if...
I think it was funny because they made Mel Brooks do it.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure he was like, I'm in.
Yeah, sure, I'll do it.
They were like, I'm going to be a what? You got it.
Okay.
Because why else would he be doing it?
He's played shit roles before. Might as well do it now.
Yeah. So at some point, Molly's at work. And, like, she got yelled at.
This movie's very disjointed.
Yeah, it's very, like, there's not a coherent, like, storyline through
this. She's at work, but, like, isn't this when she brings Mikey to work?
Yeah, well, first off, she's at work a couple times. She brings him to work at one point, and because it was an emergency, and the boss is just tearing into her about having the kid there.
Yeah, and she works at the most chauvinistic place.
Yeah,
possible.
Yeah, and this guy is
where did she work at? Like what firm? Like AC Slater firm?
Yes.
Did she?
Yeah.
Hey, mama. Go in there and make me some coffee. I'm the accountant.
He keeps calling them young ladies.
Young ladies.
Oh, man. And I'm just like, oh.
That's what it is. Young ladies.
Knock his ass out. The
thank you for the AC translator.
The AC Slater translator?
Yes.
Wow. You've done a very excellent job on this report today.
Go in the
kitchen and make me a sandwich, mama.
All right.
That was the AC Slater translator. We got tons of them. Anyway, so he yells at him. Of course, Mikey pours whiteout all over his shoe, which apparently he does not notice or get pissed about.
Right.
I think there's at one point, he's driving a cab.
Yeah, he has a job where he's driving a cab?
Yeah, James is, driving a cab, and he's driving Paul Schaefer around.
That is Paul Schaefer.
Yeah, with hair.
Yes, with hair.
Yeah, it was very odd.
He's late for the, Tonight Show. Not the Tonight Show. You never have the Tonight Show.
No.
The Late Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be around that time, so yeah.
So Paul Schaefer is getting dropped off, and of course, Mikey is screwing with the buttons on the meter while Paul Schaefer's arguing with John Travolta.
Yeah.
And he resets the fare back to $2.
Also, if you're going to be Paul Schaefer, just play Paul Schaefer.
Yeah.
Don't be whoever you are.
Well, do we know what he was supposed to be?
No. But he thought he was a businessman. He wasn't dressed in a Rod Roddy, jacket.
Yeah.
With sparkles.
You know what? Paul Schaefer is a businessman.
Oh, he is.
He is a businessman as well.
That's true. P.S. I love you.
So through all this, you see them struggling, trying to make ends meet, or at least James trying to contribute. At some point they're back at work and going through somebody's their deductible losses based off a bad business investment and all this.
Right. It was some sushi place called Eat Me Raw.
What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
It was their uncle gave them bad advice.
Yeah.
Basically, this movie's divided into three categories. You either are James and Molly.
Yeah.
And their storyline. You are kids who are just being overdubbed with ad-libbed lines.
Right.
Or are tax jokes. That's seriously, there are three parts.
Jokes.
A third of this movie is talking about taxes.
Yeah, it is.
And everybody going, wow, taxes are cool. It makes me feel that they were we need another backer. Will the IRS contribute to this? Ooh, don't call us. We'll be the cocks of the walk.
Can we get H&R Block to promote us?
You know it. So they're talking about deductions, and finally she's like, oh no, I'm just having a little light labor. It's okay. She's breathing. She's obviously uncomfortable. They're still talking and she's breathing. And I thought it was a nice effect. As she's breathing, the papers on the table are kind of blowing around and one guy keeps looking at them uh-oh, what is going on? And then finally her voice gets real deep.
I'm going into labor.
He was a schmuck. She just growls.
Whatever.
Yeah. And so they take her in. They find out, and all this time you see the little girl, Julie. She's an animatronic.
Oh, inside the womb?
Yeah.
Those
didn't work for me.
It
looked awkward.
Maybe back in the day it would have, but the practical effect did not work.
Well, it's they were recycling jokes. So in the first one.
Yeah, it really was.
They were because Mikey talked about 10 fingers, 10 toes. What's this one finger down here?
Right.
It was his penis joke.
Yeah.
Well, then, so they had to make sure they got Julie in with a two arms, two legs, two mouths, get her vagina joke in.
Huh.
And so at some point you see the umbilical cord starting to wrap around Julie's neck.
I was really worried about that puppet.
Well, it's a real concern with childbirth. And I know, so, like, I was like, puppet. Oh my God, what are they doing?
I didn't know what was going on. I saw the puppet getting choked, and I thought, oh no.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And so, well, they get her to the hospital.
Yeah.
They do a C-section, which I'm glad they showed, like, you know, this other, you know, that's okay. Like, sometimes that has to happen.
Right.
They show her getting the C-section. And John Travolta being kind of like nauseous while he's watching. He's like, okay. And like trying to stay strong. But they eventually get Julie out. They get her breathing. When she meets Mikey, because Mikey shows up then to meet her, and he tries to give her this little stuffed cow, and she freaks out. And so that kind of starts the whole...
You know, it's more of a mirror image, you know, for Roseanne, so...
She was in, what was that, Home on the Range?
Was she? Was
in
she
Disney?
A cow in that?
Yeah, she was a cow.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She foresaw her future in one of the worst Disney movies of all time.
We can just say Kirstie Alley gave birth to the she-devil.
Yeah.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
To Vesta Rose of she-devil. So Mikey is trying to, you know, be this great big brother, and Julie just is not impressed. But he's not getting as much attention. She's getting all of it.
Can we go back? Before she was born, one of her bosses, Kirstie Alley's bosses, was yelling, and Julie, or Roseanne's character in the womb, was all like, man, someone's loud and obnoxious. And it was, and I turned to you. I go, yeah, you, Roseanne. I just had to say that.
Yeah. I was waiting for them to try to slip in a domestic goddess joke.
Oh, God. That, you know, that would have been better, actually.
So, and there was some, like, there were some sweet things. Like, at one point, like, Mikey is like, hey, you know, this music box always calmed me down, and
right.
He puts it on Kirstie Alley's belly, and you see Julie, like, going, oh, this is
Look,
nice.
Roseanne didn't have that gravelly to her,
yeah,
you know, that she normally does.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, I know this is going to sound weird, it was refreshing to hear her do that.
Yeah.
But the jokes weren't there for me.
No. I think it... Later on, I was like, okay, like, she was good at, like, matching the emotion of the baby, I thought. Whereas, like, the baby could be, Mikey could be doing anything, and Bruce Willis is like, hey, watch me play a harmonica.
Hey.
So.
I think he did do that.
He played harmonica in
his
band.
Hey, Dad, look at me play the harmonica.
So.
I was in moonlighting.
So Mikey starts to resent Julie a little bit because he's not getting attention. He tries to lay down the law a little bit.
Really, like, upset. I think he actually calls her Hans Gruber at one point.
Hans. What was the other baby friend? Zeus.
Yeah, I think so.
It's just Die Hard Babies.
Did we just create Die Hard Babies?
God, I hope so.
I want that. I want that right now.
Mr. McQuain.
Anyone out there, please try to get behind that. I don't care if you're a writer or draw something. I want Die Hard Babies.
It's happening.
I really do. Maybe the crib gets taken over. I want that so bad.
It's happening. It's been spoken. It's in the ether now. Someone will get it. So he's trying to show her, like, what toys are his and which ones are hers. And he's like, no, these are all mine. Like, you see him being like, no, the cool ones are mine. You get all the lame stuff. Yeah. Meanwhile, Molly's right-wing kind of slacker brother shows up. Her conspiracy theory.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Brother shows up, played by
Alex Jones. No.
Yes.
No.
Exactly. Elias Koteas? I don't know how you say it.
Oh, yeah. He played Casey Jones.
He's a repeat offender.
Was he in the second one, too, was Casey Jones? Or did they change Casey Jones?
No, he was always Casey
okay,
Jones.
Okay, was he always Casey Jones?
Yeah.
Well, no, he wasn't always Casey Jones.
Oh, he was
in the new one. It's what's his bucket from Arrow.
Well, right.
Okay.
Obviously. So
he needs a place to stay.
He's he shows up, and they talked about him earlier because he's always begging for money and whatever. But they're like Olympia Dukakis is like, he's fine. He's got this degree. He'll be fine.
Another flub that they did was Julie's friend. They talked about like she had a brother, but then like
Molly.
But when she meets him, oh, I didn't know you had a brother. I'm like, come on.
Oh, to Mona?
Yeah.
Her friend?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Very odd. Anyway, so he shows up, and James does not like him. Like, the guy is just, he starts trashing things right away. He's basically just ignoring James being there. And we find out he hasn't left for a long time. Like, he's been staying there forever.
I don't even know. Like, the timeline of this movie is so weird.
It is. Like, she skips
in there.
So, she, like, okay, so...
Would they argue? How long is that argument?
Yeah. I don't know. It has to be years. So, from the time when... I think around the time when he's there, she's, like, 3 months old when he first arrives. Julie is. And then by the end of the movie, she's supposed to be, like, a year old.
Oh, is that where we get? Yeah, probably, because she's walking.
Yeah.
That's usually about 12, 13 months.
Yeah.
Is when you're walking. Sorry, I took a child psychology class.
No, you're fine.
So, yeah, that would be about 12 to 14 months.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, he's been there for a long time, like, throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
He's basically... James gets, Molly's parents hook James up with an interview for a job for like piloting, but it's real demanding. He's going to be gone a lot, which he doesn't want. He wanted to be closer to his family, which is why he wasn't taking those, but they've arranged it and he feels like he's getting a handout, which he doesn't want, or like he's being pressured into taking it, which he does not want. And he thinks it's because her parents look down at him, which they do. But they start arguing, and, he, at one point, he's Stuart, James comes in late one night, Stuart pulls a gun on him, because he's, you gotta have a gun, what if the economy crashes, and then, like...
I assume they're in New York, right?
They are, yeah.
Okay.
What if the economy crashes, and then... Your neighbor's going to come here and take all your water and this and this and this. He's basically going on about how everybody should have guns.
Right.
And which Baby Roseanne seems to like a lot. But
yeah, Baby Roseanne was like, yeah, maybe everyone should have a gun.
She was all on top of that. But the they argue about that. And he says, no, I want Stuart gone. He's jeopardizing the kids. And then he's talking about, like, look what he does. He drinks, like, everything but one sip of something and puts it back. He takes a bite out of every piece of food and then puts it back. Like, just, he's a terrible house guest.
Yes.
And so he wants him gone. And she goes...
He invites those four turtles over all the time.
I know. And they eat all your pizza, including the pizza, except the pizza bone. They just leave those for you. Yeah.
And the falcon breath. He keeps sniffing the falcon breath and pizza bones.
He's getting high on falcon breath. so he basically is like, look, no, you've got to choose. It's got to be me or him. And she's like, well, don't ask me to choose. That's selfish. And that's, whatever. And she calls him a dumb...
is it really selfish? I mean, that's your husband and
right.
your kids.
Well, but think about it. Like, her whole family has been like that to him. And basically, they've created this environment where he's almost like the outsider. And he's just graced to live in their world.
Right.
And so she calls him a big dumb slob. And, he says, well, you're... you're a big slob or something. Like basically they keep using the same insults
this
back and
forth. This is like the fourth fight so far. This one is the one that really gets them to break up and him to move out.
Molly tells him to leave.
Yeah.
So he leaves.
So he leaves.
And so then
throughout this movie, he's been gone the last half of this movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know how long it's been.
Yeah, nor do I. It has
what
to be
he's
a,
doing.
It has to be a long time, though.
Because it starts snowing later on.
Yeah. Well, Molly gets... So, when Molly kicks him out, we see where Mikey starts getting angry. And Julie has one... Her little best buddy is a stuffed penguin named Herbie.
Yeah.
And... Like, she's talked to him a couple times. Well, Mikey gets so mad that he rips Herbie's head off and just throws it across the room. And Julie is crying. And that was, I was like, oh, like when Roseanne did the voice there, I was like, oh, poor baby. Because, like, it was, I think she said the right things. It wasn't like a, I'll get you. It was like a, no, why are you doing
That's
this?
That's what I said. It's not your typical Roseanne performance,
right.
You would say.
Right.
Having said that, it just didn't work for me with the joke aspect of it, but the emotional aspect was fine. Yeah,
yes.
I agree with that.
I agree. Anyway, so Mikey obviously has issues. James does occasionally hang out with the kids after that. So, like, he'll take them out, like, he takes them out to the movies.
Yes.
Where he, like, grifts his way into a movie and into getting some popcorn.
Yes.
And then he takes him to the park.
That, he took that grifting class.
He did.
At Greendale.
Yes.
And so, hey, it worked.
Yeah. There you go.
He got some free popcorn and free movie.
Correct. So then he takes him to the park, gets some ice cream.
We assume that he got him ice cream. It looks like they got blood all over them.
Yeah, it looks like they have dried blood. They ate somebody
at
the Betty Boop picture that they went to go see.
All right.
Which, what theater?
Remember this trick. Oh, no, I'm all out of people to eat. People to eat, people to eat, people to eat.
Well, so he grifts his way in. Okay, so he grifts his way in because he goes, hey, my kid left her shoe in there. Right. Can I go back in and find it? And they go, okay, yeah, and let him in. Although, clearly, he's holding the shoe, the other shoe, in his hand.
They don't see that, though. No.
Well, he didn't put it in his pocket or anything. It was just out there. And then when they get inside, then he was like, hey, kids, freak out while I'm trying to get popcorn. So they just give me some to make us go away faster.
Yeah. Are you wondering what movie theater that is? That's an AMC. That's an AMC.
Well, okay, so there were two movies.
Definitely an AMC.
There was Total Recall.
Yeah, there's only two movies, Total Recall and Betty Boop.
And Betty Boop.
Total Recall. And I don't care that they're
They went to Betty Boop because they were like, oh, the other one's too or we're too young for the other one. I don't know if you've been to a Betty Boop cartoon, but maybe you shouldn't be at either of those.
Right.
Anyway.
Are we talking about the fact that they take the kids to gym class? Are we there yet on the gym?
No. Although they said they were going to do that at some point. So he could be, because he was like at one point, Mikey and his friend were at the playground when they were talking about potty training and stuff. And they were like, oh, you know who liked the zoo? Julie, we should go take her. And so while Kirstie Alley and the other lady were just like reading.
You know, the other lady does have a name.
What is it?
I don't know. Keep going.
They're just reading. And okay, so they're reading. So shut up, everybody who thinks that now just parents are distracted by their cell phones. They were distracted back then, too. Anyway, so the kids start going away with the stroller, but they catch them and they're like, hey, don't do that. And then, like, they find Mikey's, like, here, and hands her a crack pipe.
Well, you know.
Yeah. And so it was, it's...
He saw it in the Betty Boop cartoon.
the short was called Betty Boop. Betty does Boop crack. Does crack. Betty Boop chasing that dragon.
So they take him to a gym, like a gym class for, like, kids, like a toddler gym?
Yes.
Run by the perfect person to run a gym class, Gilbert Gottfried.
Yes, and I think he may actually be Gilbert Gottfried, too.
Yeah, he was seriously like Gilbert Gottfried does 5 minutes. That's all it was.
Yeah, it was him just walking around. You stole my face, and then you shot me over here. Jump, jump, jump. Go. Am I the only one talking? Come on.
Yeah, he just walks around screaming at the kids. There are actual people like, hey, kids, over here. Come on over this way. And he's just yelling at things. Like, that's what they pay it for.
Hey, you know, that's how it works.
Yes.
Yeah. I just thought that was very interesting that they chose Gilbert Gottfried to play that role.
Would you pay money to have Gilbert Gottfried at a children's gym?
I would pay for your kids. Gilbert Gottfried to show up anywhere. It's Gilbert Gottfried.
That's true.
People would be like, hell, that's Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah.
Say I want my nachos. I want my nachos.
I want my nachos.
That's great. No, I would not.
Okay. You wouldn't leave your children with Gilbert Gottfried?
No, I wouldn't. Would you?
Probably.
Okay.
I bet he would teach them about...
It's just that those kids are going to stay up all night.
They'd have to learn about horse racing sometime, I would assume. I feel like he'd be a good person to teach them the ins and outs.
But there is a scene where John Travolta comes to pick up Mikey from the gym.
Yeah.
And if you thought you were going to get away without seeing John Travolta dance in a movie, you are poorly mistaken.
Yes.
It's All Shook Up by Elvis.
Yep.
And he dances through the whole gym, climbing up steps, climbing up slides,
yeah, doing sliding down poles, doing.
And let me tell you, he still had the moves back then.
Oh yeah, he did.
I mean, that scene was great. Him moving around.
And it was fun. Kudos to the kids too for like.
Yeah.
It was obviously choreographed because like the kids were standing in places and dancing while he was going around, and sometimes he would come down something, and then there'd be two kids like following him on either side dancing with it. Like they were little kids doing this choreography. Yeah. It was pretty slick.
Yeah, one time he jumps on the trampoline and flips and does this weird thing.
Yeah, and like, when he lands and starts walking, totally he lands and starts walking forward, and that's when the kids come on either side of him and are dancing with him as he comes towards the camera.
Yeah.
It's almost this like Hal Hartley moment of
with John Travolta and kids. Yes, it's exactly like a Hal Hartley movie.
What with his random dance scenes?
Right, right. Anyway.
Anyway. So at some point, Molly's best friend, Rona, who is also an accountant, shows up.
Who's Rona played by? Twink? What's her face?
Twink Martindale. Get rid of Twink. Twink Kaplan.
Twink Kaplan.
Yes.
Or Twink Martindale, which is this gay skinny version of Twink Martindale, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Or Girl Carrot Top, as she's known.
Twink Martindale.
So Twink Martindale.
Stop.
Called Rona. She shows up because her apartment got robbed. And that's when Molly introduces her because, again, Stuart pulls a gun on them. So
it's love at first sight.
Yeah. So she introduces Rona. And then Stuart and Rona start dating. Now, Julie decides she's going to start walking because she's going to run away after she's going to leave because she finds Herbie's head. And she's like, God is my witness. I'm getting out of here. And that baby has the cutest little lip quiver while she's doing it. Oh, so adorable.
Cutest kid.
That the little girl who plays Julie, freaking adorable. Adorable.
Agreed.
So later, you see Molly sees Julie walk to the sofa, and she's calling out to everybody that you should come see this, and then realizes she's sad because James isn't going to be there to see it. Like, he's not going to be part of that. He's missing these moments.
Right.
So
she tries to win him back.
Yeah, well, he's out with Mikey still. She decides that she's going to get dressed up so that when he comes by that like she can catch his attention. And so they have this montage of Kirstie Alley getting ready and then baby Julie like eating the makeup brush and like
getting dressed up too.
Yeah.
Like, the cutest one is there's one where you see Kirstie Alley sprays, like, perfume on her chest. And then the next shot is baby Julie. And it's getting perfume sprayed on her, too, just the same way. It was it was adorable. So she tries to win him back, but he's really not interested. He just wants to leave. And everybody, James wants to be back too, but he's just trying to move on. While James and Molly are arguing, Mikey uses a toilet for the first time. And so he tried once before to hold it, but he peed himself. Now he makes it there. He climbs up on the giant toilet instead of on his little potty chair and pees. Calls his parents in. They come and see him. They, you know, are so excited. Yeah. They have this big moment.
A couple times in the movie, you actually hear the real Mikey when he says, Mama, Dada,
yeah,
popcorn, or whatever.
Yeah.
So this is like the real time that you,
yeah,
you know, you hear him.
Yeah. And so he calls from, they and come in there.
Amazing enough, still sounds like Bruce Willis.
Mama, Dada,
Dada.
So they come in there. And so they're so excited. There's this big milestone together. And they kind of let their guards down.
Yeah, and he's like, look, I peed. Ha ha. Yippee-ki-yay.
Mom and Daddy.
Mom and Daddy.
So, I'm writing this all down.
You should. This is a better movie that we're writing.
It's just Die Hard Babies.
Die Hard Babies.
So, they share this moment, and so they decide, you know what? Maybe we can work things out. So one night, James gets ready to fly. So he's trying to take off, but the weather's going to be bad. Molly watches the news and realizes the storms are going to be worse than they originally anticipated. So she runs to the airport to go get James before he takes off.
Yeah,
because she says...
I don't know how far she is from LaGuardia, but come on.
I think he's on a private airstrip is what it was.
Oh, okay. But well, yeah, because he's doing like a courier.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so like he's taking like business people. Yeah.
From what I understood, I thought that was his real plane. John Travolta's real plane.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his real jet.
At least at the time.
He's an accomplished pilot.
Right. Yeah.
So,
he likes to fly.
He does. He started out flying convertibles.
He did.
And then moved on to jets.
He did. Go Grease Lightning.
And then he flew like a stealth in Broken Arrow.
So they rekindle their
love. So she's like, come on, come back with me. Like, don't go out and do this dangerous thing just because. And he's like, okay. So I don't know. Apparently the flight, somebody else can risk their life. It's okay.
Right.
So they go back. While they are Stuart is watching Mikey and Julie.
Yes. Which is the perfect, I mean, the only other person that would probably watch him if they got Gilbert Godfrey to come and watch him.
Don't worry, I'll watch your baby.
I will.
Don't worry about a thing. You've got Affleck. Anyway, yeah. So
they'll need it after what happened.
So he's watching them, and you hear something in the other room. Well, there's a guy breaking in and like using like glass cutters to cut a circle in the window and to gently do all the, like, it's dumb.
It's like third act.
Yeah. And so
let's make it really happen. Have their apartment be robbed.
Yeah. So Stuart hears it. He's like, hold on, stay here, kids. So he goes after him with his unloaded gun and chases this criminal down the fire escape and everything. He's basically running after him, chasing him down the street.
Leaving the kids alone.
Yes. Now
leaving toddlers alone.
Yeah. Now he was
in
cooking
apartment
dinner.
Complex that just got broken into in New York.
Yeah. So he's been cooking dinner.
And so when he did that, he just like left. He threw the towel down and it caught on fire. And so fire just like crazy.
Yeah.
Like
evidently they were playing with also the recycled newspapers.
Yes.
Were they building paper hats or something?
Maybe.
What were they doing?
Yeah.
Why is it all like, let's just spread the newspapers out?
Yeah. This is like, it was like a...
I don't know what that was and how that happened.
It was like a New York button factory fire. It went
like that.
Yeah. And so it just was swept everywhere. And so the cab comes up. And you see that Molly and James are in there. And she says, I left him with Stuart. I left the kids with Stuart. Let's get back. And so he's mad about that. And so they stop and they see Stuart fighting the criminal. And, of course, Travolta knocks him out. And what'd you do that for? I could have taken him. And he's like, well, what was I supposed to do? Let him kill you? You know, come on. So Molly's like, where are the kids? Oh, inside, up, you know, still upstairs. And you look up, and obviously you can see the flames through the windows.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh, God. So they run inside. Well, in the meantime, Julie's like in her little, like, walker thing. And Mikey says, hold on, Julie. Like, pull your hands in. Don't touch the hot stuff. And so he's pushing her through, like past the fire, and exits the apartment with her and manages to get in the elevator and take her all the way down to the first floor right as the parents are showing up.
And so
James runs upstairs, puts the fire out with the fire extinguisher. And that's it. Basically, they don't have that much damage at this point. Like they lucked out pretty well. So then it kind of goes to this epilogue piece. James and Molly and the kids go to a barbecue with Molly's parents. We see Stuart and we see Rona there. So they're still together. And at the end, Julie asks Mikey why he saved her. You know, I thought you hated me. He goes, well, sometimes I do hate you. But, you know, like you get on my nerves, but I love you. And so we got to stick together because grown-ups make no sense.
Yeah.
And so then they go, she's like, yeah, right. And so then they hold hands and they start walking away.
Yeah.
And then there's a stinger later that shows her falling into like mud or something. Ow, my tush, which she says more than once.
Yeah. Great. So you've been deuced.
Yeah, right? You've been deuced.
So that is Look Who's Talking Now, or I'm not, I'm sorry, Look Who's Talking To.
Yeah, Look Who's Talking Now is one with...
The third one.
Is one with dogs.
Oh my God. Okay, so that's what we thought of it, but let's hear what other people thought of it, Jeremy.
Yes.
Manda Beetle gave it a 1 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Says, look who's boring.
Ooh.
Yeah. This movie did have a chance if it didn't bring Molly's brother, who needs to be sent back with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and her annoying friend, whatever her name is. But also the really bad and lame points in this movie were the couple fighting, them singing about Mikey going to the bathroom, and using Roseanne as his sister. That's when I really thought this movie is really bad. If I wanted to hear that, I would watch Barney or Sesame Street. Avoid.
What? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. And keep in mind, I'm reading these reviews that people give. I'm reading it as they wrote it.
Yeah.
So if there's any mistakes,
mm-hmm.
I'm reading those mistakes too.
Okay.
J. Wells 97 says 10 out of 10. They've got a double hitter. It's very rare that a sequel will be as good as the original, but they achieved it with Look Who's Talking To. Congratulations on a job well done. Michael Travolta and Kirstie Alley were excellent choices for James and Molly. Michael Travolta. The casting was good. The music brought back happy memories. And the story line was fun. Because Molly's feelings and the ups and downs of raising children were depicted so well. I suspected the story was written by a woman. Sure enough, it was. Bravo. You know, I bet babies and toddlers really do think many of these things. Now I'm eager to watch the third movie in this trilogy. Ooh, I'm sorry. You're eager to watch the third one of this. Ooh, yeah. But yeah, Michael Travolta.
Oh, they Michael really loved, Travolta.
I think they got Michael, the movie Michael, confused with John Travolta.
So. Makes sense. And maybe he should be Michael Travolta. It does. I think it has a better ring to it.
Let me tell you, Jeremy, I'm not a big fan of when you have a show or a movie and you hear the inner dialogues of, like, the kids or the pets.
Yes.
A lot of times it doesn't work for me. Even Mr. Ed talked. The only time that it really did work for me was when we watched that show Downward Dog.
Yes.
On ABC. Because they gave it really real emotion. And it wasn't more, it was, you know what I mean? Like, the dog was more not one dimension. It was like.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. And I think that, I get it. Like, I kind of want to be one way or the other. Like, I either like where if the thing is talking, that there's interaction with whatever. Like, you get that with, like, Garfield or Mr. Ed, things like that, where they understand. But, like, when it's the thing and they're just doing commentary, I don't care for
except
that.
Downward Dog.
Downward Dog was sweet, though. But he wasn't directly responding to things they were saying.
He wasn't. And, in fact, a lot of times he would then be talking on his own.
Yes.
Where it was, you know what I mean? Where no other...
And he didn't understand them, really.
He really didn't understand them. Yeah, he didn't. Yeah, which is quite amazing. I just think this movie falls flat on a lot of things. So,
yeah, the time, and there was a weird in the middle of the movie. I don't even remember where it was to like call back to it. But there was like a weird flashback scene.
Yeah,
where it had flashbacks from the first movie. It had flashbacks from this movie of things that we just saw minutes before. And then it had flashbacks to scenes that we had never seen. But they weren't chronological. They were just skipping back and forth. I was so confused as to what it was. Like, some of those, I was like, is that the future?
I think the editing on this movie is really terrible. This is probably a good example of not editing correctly.
Yeah.
Also, I just think Roseanne... Look... I don't like Roseanne as a person. It's pretty obvious a lot of people don't nowadays. Look, Roseanne at the time, what was this, 1990, whatever, it was her heyday.
Yeah.
She was really funny in her heyday.
Yeah.
And could knock it out of the park. She's not doing that in this. And I think the script doesn't let her do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's a shame.
Yes.
Bruce Willis on the hand is just commenting on what he's seen.
Yeah, his stuff just fell extremely flat to me. Like, and I get Roseanne's thing. Like, I get what she's trying to do. And I had a lot more, I think I gave her a lot more latitude than I did.
I didn't.
Bruce Willis.
I gave her less. I don't know why. Probably because
I feel like she stuck to a script and he was like, look, I know how to make a baby talk. And he just started doing shit.
Go ahead.
Why don't we get into our five questions?
Let's do it.
All right. So, what was your favorite part of this movie?
I'm dogging on this movie a lot. There are two really good parts of this movie. And I hate to say it like this, but my one first favorite part is the music. I thought it had a good soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Thought the soundtrack was very well used in the right appropriate. Except that song when she went to the airport. I was like, what was that?
Yeah.
And then the other thing is the kid actors themselves. Not necessarily, obviously, Bruce Willis or Roseanne, but I actually thought the kid actors or whoever is helping the kid wrangler did a great job, I thought.
Yeah, so...
Do you know what I mean? Dealing with the kids.
To me, it was like, I don't know, it bothered me that, like, the kids were obviously speaking at the same time, and, like, I assume it's supposed to be that they're baby babbling, and that just, you know, what they really want to say is happening in their head, but I don't know, it just bothers me, because, like, I was trying to, like, what is that kid saying? And a couple of times I thought he was saying the same thing. Like he was they were trying to get him to say the lines.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, it'd be one thing if I heard him also saying that and then you heard it like translated or whatever. Like, that'd make more sense to me. But I don't know. That didn't work for me as much. I did, like, I'm the opposite of you on this. I think Roseanne's stuff, I think, was... she had some jokes that fell flat, especially when she was, like, in the womb. But when she was the baby and was having not the jokey moments, but more of, like, the emotional ones, those hit home to me. Like, when she was, like... When she was just like, but that's... You're my only friend, Herbie. And then later she's like, why would you do that? And she's like... crying because the baby is really crying. Like, it matched up to me, whereas like the Mikey, if he was like being silly or whatever, like Bruce Willis was just talking and it had nothing to do with anything. Like, it was just...
I couldn't disagree with you more.
Oh really?
I thought her emotion was flat, her delivery was flat. I thought at her heyday she is way better than this.
Yeah.
And she's not knocking it out of the park. Look, this is two different movies to me. This is a movie for the parents where they're fighting. To me, this is a comedy. This is actually a domestic drama disguised as a comedy.
Yeah.
Their parts were not funny at all.
No.
Right? It was very dramatic.
Yeah.
Right? And so it was like I kind of at some points on the dramatic side wanted to know more about that. Because we kind of went from, oh, he got kicked out of the house. Now he's driving around with this girl.
Yeah, she's having a daydream. Apparently there are more cut scenes that they put back in, like when they extend it for time.
Okay.
That where she fantasizes about that more, that like he's off.
Oh, that's a fantasy?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get that.
He was gallivanting around with some lady.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It just, like, I wanted to know more. Like, if you're going to do that... Have a drama.
Yeah.
If you're going to have the kids, have a comedy. It's like you put both of them together and it didn't mix well.
Yeah.
If you're going to have them argue funny.
Yeah.
You know? Because you can write funny arguments, but those aren't even funny. So.
So I agree with you to a point. But I think this is really three movies. There's some movies for the adults.
Stop.
There's the movies for the kids where they're being silly. And then there's the movie for your tax preparer.
Stop.
Who goes to the movies with you.
Stop.
As a deduction.
Go ahead.
Would you rather reboot, continue, or cancel?
I'm done with this.
Done?
I'm done. I do not like these kind of movies. These movies don't even like even when I talk about... Weekend at Bernie's. I enjoy those because they're dumb funny.
Yeah.
This isn't even dumb funny.
Yeah.
It's just kind of lukewarm, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's just flat.
I want to have one now where when you find out that voice that Mikey, that we have for Mikey, the Bruce Willis voice, is actually a voice in his head that tells him to do things. It's like the kid
who's just Bruce hearing Willis playing.
Who's just like, you should go knock them out, Mikey. And he's like, what? No, why would I do that?
That's the new Die Hard movie, his inner dialogue.
It's the kid with hearing voices in his head.
I could stop this terrorist, but I really have to pee and poop right now.
I have to pee, poo, poo, poo. No, I would also say cancel. Like, it was a gimmick, and it worked one movie.
That first movie did work.
You didn't need to continue
You did not need to continue this.
No.
It's a cash grab.
Yeah. And the fact they went to dogs next was like,
which is big annoying.
Yeah. Do you think this movie stands on its own?
No. No. Because I don't even think it stands on what they have now.
Yeah.
Let alone stands on its own.
You know, I kind of think it does. Because it starts out with, like, you know it's a family.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's nothing really, like, and you get what the idea of what their jobs are, what they do.
But the extended family themselves.
Yeah.
Like, they wasted Olympia Dukakis.
Yeah, they did.
When you were in, like, you had two lines?
But in the cutscenes, there's a lot of running. Apparently, that's a running gag.
Watch that version, Jeremy. I want to watch the cut versions of Look Who's Talking To.
Well, you need to watch it on Freeform then.
Okay.
Or Family Channel, whatever it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. ABC Family.
It's Freeform.
Well, it is now.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was then. But
probably not.
But yeah, they would show it, and they show like the extra thing with her like having more like daydreams about him running off with some other gal, and then like
very odd,
like a running gag with like talking with her mom about everything.
If there's a director's cut of Look Who's Talking To, I don't really want to watch it.
That's fine. No, that's fine. We'll take your word for it.
Yeah, you just leave that on the bottom of the barrel there.
Does this movie make you want to watch the first one?
No.
No, it's a no for me as well.
That's a no.
I think that's the first one we've agreed on. Like, well, no, I agreed on the cancellation too, I suppose. But
yeah.
And then two words to sum up your experience.
My experience is tax write-off. I felt like this movie was one big tax write-off. I really do.
Yeah.
No, cash grab. It's a cash grab.
Yeah.
This movie is the definition of cash grab. Look. I think Kirstie Alley was trying to break into movies, but she really wasn't doing that much of a box office. So she needed work. I think Travolta obviously needed work.
Yeah.
I just think a lot of these people needed a paycheck, and so they were going for the next paycheck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, cash grab.
Yeah. I think my words are poo-poo.
And pee-pee.
No, that'd be four words.
Mine's pee-pee then.
Okay, perfect. No, the problem with this was like it could have been.
What are your two words?
Poo-poo.
Okay.
It could have been. I guess it's. I don't know. Is that one word?
I'm not going to allow another word.
Okay. Because if it's one word, then I choose pee-pee poo-poo. But but no, it's like it was 2 to 3 partial movies that were stitched together.
Yes, it was.
And there was not like one full coherent story between those parts.
The reward of the resolution wasn't well.
The risk and reward part was like 5 seconds long.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with anything.
No.
And it was just very like, and they tried to almost make this slice of life thing and it just did not work. It just fell way, way short of what it could have done.
Slice of life, like you mean with their arguments
and
stuff? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like this could have been a movie where Kirstie Alley and John Travolta could have just not done a Look Who's Talking movie.
Yeah.
And could have done like a fine independent kind of back and forth slice of life movie if they wanted to.
Yeah.
Romantic kind of comedy.
Yeah.
But instead you got to put the kids in there.
But if you would have turned it around and made it like an all kids like silly movie with much less parent wise, I think that would have worked for a younger audience, but it would have at least then been a whole movie in and to itself.
It didn't work though.
Yeah, it didn't work with
didn't balance.
Yeah, there was not enough of each of those to make it anything tangible.
No. And look, we knew going into this movie was not ranked very high.
No.
It ran a couple Razzie Awards or something.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah. So that concludes episode 71 of the Deuce Podcast. What do we got going up? We got some shoot 'em up, bang 'em up westerns.
Yes.
Right? I'm excited because we are doing western sequels.
Yes, we are.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So there are some of them out there. We're going to try to, even amongst different styles of films, even amongst westerns. So
very much right on that one. Very much. So look forward to that.
Yes.
But where can people find us, Jeremy?
People can find us at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com. You can find us at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Remember to rate us on any of those sites if you can. You can also find us at nophonynetwork.com. You can find us on Twitter. At the Deuce Podcast. Mm-hmm. So we are there. Look us up.
We're on Google Play.
We are on Google Play.
Google Play, Podcatcher. Pod Snatcher, Pod Knife, Player FM.
On what? Player FM.
Any place where you can get your podcasts.
Well, we're not on Spotify, so.
Well, yeah. Besides that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe one day.
But yeah, that's what we got.
So remember, folks, we're going to be doing Westerns.
Yeah, please tune in.
And also remember, this movie, not that great. But also remember, we enjoy doing this podcast for you. But also remember, Jeremy, that the sequel is king.
I got you.